I'm Stephen Duncan. Gearbox has come out and said that Borderlands 2's story won't suck.
Hello, I'm Kevin Bray, and to tell you the truth, I didn't even know Borderlands had a story.
And this is the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. Today, we're talking about the PS4.
And if virtual reality is going to be the next thing.
And we're talking about piracy. But first, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, since this is your second show, you get a little bit more acclimated, a little bit more accustomed to our ways?
Oh, we good now, dog.
Okay, as long as I know that, as long as I know that we good.
Yeah, dog, we good.
Good.
Dog, we got it.
All right, so let's just go ahead and
we'll get to it.
Yeah, let's get to the first topic. Nintendo Power, one of the longest running gaming magazines, has been discontinued. Is this a sign of things to come for the rest of the gaming magazines?
Well, it's not just gaming magazines, it's all magazines. They're all declining with circulation everywhere. I mean, because if you're not moving on to an online model, then you're really getting left behind right now. So
yeah, and that's really unfortunate. We saw some other, like EGM, folded there for a while. And that, I'm sad that Nintendo Power is gone, not necessarily because I read it, but just more because it was an institution in gaming information that we kind of grew accustomed to.
Really? But I think it was more of just a marketing ploy. I mean, since they took it over in 89, Nintendo.
Okay, I mean, so it was an institution in marketing. Either way, it was still an institution. It was still something that we grew up with, and it was still something that was kind of, you know, around.
At our time, it was the only way to, like, ooh and ah at the next big video games.
Right.
I mean,
and like I said, I was more saddened when EGM went away and then came back. I was happy when that happened. I do think this is kind of a sign of the times.
See, here's the thing. We get all of our news from the internet.
Right.
And we're already a week behind. And these magazines are two or three weeks behind with their information.
Right.
So there's just, you can't keep up with today's information.
Yeah, for something like this, I really think that, like, magazines have to come up with something that only they do.
Big developer interviews and stuff like that.
Right, and that's what I was thinking, were more interviews. Usually when I pick up a magazine, whether it be for gaming or any other interest, it's for the interviews on the inside. It's not for the news. I have the internet for the news.
Yeah. Next, we're talking about DNA storage. Let me just read you this. This will be easier. A bioengineer and geneticist in Harvard's Wyss Institute have successfully stored 5.5 petabits of data, which equals around 700 terabytes. Just think about how big your hard drive is. So 700 terabytes into a single gram of DNA. A gram of DNA will fit just barely on the tip of your fingertip. And this is smashing the previous DNA record by 1,000 times at least. What do you think? Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. So
it is.
I mean, do you think that's going to have an impact?
I think it's definitely a step in the right direction. I don't want to speak too heavily on it because I'm not a genius level intellect.
It's hard,
when it comes,
it's really hard to understand it.
Right. But the simple thing to understand is, like you said, one drop gets you 700 terabytes of information.
Mean,
that's more than like 50 Blu-ray discs.
That's 700 terabytes of data is approximately 14,050 gigabyte Blu-ray discs.
That's why I said more than.
Yeah, that's a lot more than 50, though. That is a crap ton more.
So I am, even though I'm not truly, like, even though I haven't grasped it fully, I am excited for this. You know, the more data that we have, the more chance we have to, like, explore technology in a creative sense, you know.
It's really the next direction to you know, fusing with technology, basically. Because if they can put, you know, data in DNA, we are DNA. I mean, we are, that is, you know, that is what we're made of.
Well, yeah, like, you can stick your finger in the USB slot. That'd be nifty.
I mean, we could be the computer then.
Right. Like I said, one of the things you can see throughout gaming and throughout technology is the more space that we have, the more, you know, creative things that we have. Like, I mean, the more creative space that we can explore. So,
I mean, that's all they need is more space to make a bigger and better engines.
Yeah. I mean, we can truly get to, like, bigger, more wide open worlds, which I think that would be really cool. Square Enix has a teaser site up about Final Fantasy 13. The site refers to the Lightning Saga and that an announcement will be made regarding the series. What do you think they are planning, and will it actually be some material we didn't know about?
I'm sure it'll be some DLC, you know, some, you know, something you can pull a little bit of money out of your pocket and give to them.
I think
so
that'd
they can
be,
give you a couple more hours of gameplay.
I think it'd be a cop out, like just DLC. For if we're talking about, you know, you have a teaser site and a countdown and all that kind of stuff, I want to see something more than just DLC. I actually want to see a new game.
I'm gonna bet on it that it's DLC because I don't think they've got a new game yet.
What I would be surprised at is if it is a new game and we didn't know anything about it. The way gaming and the way news in general is now, everything leaks as soon as it happens.
Yeah.
So if it is something we didn't know about, I'll be a little bit more surprised. But the site even says that the Lightning Saga concluded. So I don't know what they're going to be planning.
Were they planning a third one? Did they ever say they...
The end of... Okay, spoiler alert. Big spoiler alert. So anybody who's listening who actually cares about the ending of Final Fantasy 13 2, don't listen. Like,
all four of you turn away.
Exactly. Skip ahead. The end of Final Fantasy 13 2 heavily implies a Final Fantasy 13 3.
No.
If there is no Final Fantasy 13 3, then it's a big cock tease.
That's the huge spoiler, is that they want more money from another game? Spoiler alert!
Because
Square Enix wants money.
Some people think that's actually a spoiler, and I didn't want to like ruin anything for them. But I hope it's like an actual new game. I don't want it to be DLC. I want to see some new material.
I think with the way that the industry's going, if we get 3 hours of DLC, we're lucky.
we'll see what comes out of it.
And Valve's Michael Abash recently conducted an interview about the possibilities of virtual reality, wearable computing, and the general future of gaming technology. Do you think there will be a next, or do you think these will be the next step in gaming?
That's kind of hard to... I think we will eventually get to that point.
We asked this question... How long have we been asking this question now?
Of whether or not we'll get to virtual reality?
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we tried it already?
Nintendo. Right.
A basic form of it, at least.
Yeah. So I do think we're going to get to it. I have almost no doubt that we're going to get to it. I don't know that it's going to be the next step. I think they're too worried about... you know, the motion controls and touchpad gaming. I really think touchpad gaming is going to be the next big thing.
Supposedly, there's already a product called the Oculus Rift, which is already a basic form of virtual reality. Not only does it give you a large view field, it doesn't have any lag time when you move it around. And unlike other virtual reality, I guess, headgear units that there are, you don't feel the sensation. Like, say you move your head to the right. You know in the virtual reality world that you're not there because you're moving your head in the outside world. You know, you can still feel your head move. So, you know, so, but for somehow this machine, or not machine, I guess this I guess I don't know what it is. It looks like just a small little thing, you know, goggles.
Like
but
a little eye patch
it's
or something.
Supposed to, I guess, because you know you can fool the senses in your brain just by doing plenty of things. So what it does is it, I guess, it puts you more into the thing, so you don't feel, you feel like you're actually in there moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And Google also is working on their own virtual reality eyewear. So, I mean, it can't be too far behind.
Yeah, the fact that Google's working on something like that surprises me not in the least. So, that's our first four topics. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with the mailbag.
We love you.
We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And welcome back. And now, on to the mailbag.
DeVille! DeVille is here!
Woo!
So, Kevin, this is the, you know, last week we didn't do a mailbag. I wanted to ease you in a little bit more to give you, you know, like a main topic. But now,
hard.
Yeah, we get to put you at the ravenous claws of our...
All of these other topics are nothing compared to what we're going to get in the mailbag. These are the questions that the people want to hear.
Well, these are the questions that the people want to hear because they are the ones that sent it in.
Yeah, they're the only one that care.
Yeah. So, that's how it is. If you don't send mail, you don't care. That is not the official stance of Level 7 Podcast. So, the first one comes from our friend Cole Parker. And he writes, "Hi guys, I have a question, a comment, and a correction in that order. Also, it's a long one, so thanks for reading in advance." And no problem, in advance.
Hey, oh, he read it. He read it.
Yeah. First, in regards to Sonic Generations, I was one of the ones that blasted normal Twitter. But not because he didn't like the 3D levels. I'm fine with that. What bugged me is that you say that the levels should be dropped. Personally, while I prefer 3D Sonic gameplay, I can admit the 3D levels in Generations aren't as well made as the 2D levels, but there is potential there for them to be better. I feel it would be a waste to stop working on them, wouldn't you agree?
Well, unfortunately,
now,
Norman isn't here.
Which is why you're going to act like Norm.
Oh, okay. I'm Norman.
Which I know you like to do in your free time anyways.
Yeah,
so.
Dress up. I got in a complete Norman outfit in my shed. I don't keep it in the house. I keep it in the shed.
Yeah, so it's yeah.
Under the tractor.
It's out there with the pony outfit. But I don't want to speak to Norm's opinion.
Because he's always wrong.
You said that. I don't want to speak for someone who's not here. But I got what he was saying, that he preferred the 2D levels. And Cole, I get what you're saying as well about at least trying to reform them. I get that, and trying to make them a little bit better. But in my experience, I think the 3D levels have had their time to get better, and it seems like they just haven't. So maybe they do kind of need to be dropped.
See, what is your big complaint with the 3D levels? Is it just that it just seems like you just go?
To me, it seems...
And you just move between the rails and that's it? I mean,
no, it's not that. To me, it seems clunkier. It seems kind of... It's not as fluid as I would like.
You could say the same thing with, you know, Super Mario 64, that it was clunky.
I didn't think Super Mario 64 was that clunky.
Some of them stars are a pain in the ass to get.
That's because you're going for all 120 and going for that, like, star 116 where you have to rip your hair out as a requirement.
But what I'm saying is the stars wouldn't have been... If Mario didn't move the way he did in some aspects, I'm not saying the entire game engine, because some of it, you're right, was very smooth, but some of the things in it, you could compare to, I guess, the Sonic 3D engines, because just the general, you know, twitchiness of your character moving around, it doesn't feel as tight, I guess, as a 2D platformer would.
Now, I'm not saying that I didn't, like, there, I think it was a, like, Sonic Adventure 2. I played that a lot in my youth, and I enjoyed it. I just didn't think it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. So
I always like the, you know, Sonic 3 and possibly the one with Knuckles. I played a lot of Sonic 3, but the thing is, I really enjoyed Sonic Adventures, the first one. It was a, I don't know. Then they just went a, they, I can't exactly explain what happened in the second one. It just felt like they went too far with it. Like
they
the
went.
Levels, I don't know. Just something about the levels, they just were way more uninspired than the first one.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then they just started adding characters that people wanted to tear their hair out with.
Which he starts talking about in the second thing. Good segue, Kevin. You're getting used to this.
Yeah.
He continues. This is a long email, so I don't want to spend, you know, like 5 hours on one thing. And the other thing that bugged me was how you wanted them to axe all the characters. You didn't even mention keeping Tails and Knuckles. I like most of them, some more than Sonic, Knuckles, Blaze, Shadow. Though I like most of them and hate some, I agree that most of them have had their time and don't need any more major appearances and should just be in the side games and make cameo appearances. Actually, killing them off would probably result in Sega headquarters being burnt down in days by fanboys. That's interesting. I didn't know that Sonic fanboys were so ravenous. Yeah.
they will murder. They're like zombies for their franchise.
Right.
Now, what I think, I'm in the opinion that you can keep all of the characters, just don't have any of them talk, because they've already tried that. I mean, we've given Sonic a chance in multiple occasions of talking now, and he does not deserve the right to speak.
No.
Him or Tails should have his vocal box sliced out. Because I've never met a more annoying... I mean, some of them characters, you just block out because you just don't care about them. But Tails, you've been with him for so long.
Yeah.
He's like your buddy.
Now
you hate him because he's like, "Hey, Sonic, hey, Sonic."
My thing is, well, let me start with this. I don't know if we said this on air, but I do remember Norm telling me, whether it be on air or off air, that Tails and Knuckles can stay. That's fine. He doesn't.
Knuckles is allowed.
Yeah, but I agree, or my way of thought is less is more.
Yeah.
You know, focus on the three. And I'm kind of in the same boat. If you're going to have the other characters, put them in cameos, like in little back, you know, like background noise. Or actually kill them off. Not like off
I'm gonna
screen
vote for that. Just to see if Sonic fanboys will actually burn down a building.
That would be fantastic.
I mean, I'll do it.
Yeah. He goes on to his, what we're calling the third topic of this email. Anyway, it's about Sony's Battle Royale, my favorite subject. I find you might be writing it off too early, but I too felt it doesn't look like it's worth a full price release. Looks about $20 to $30, at most $40. My excitement for it was dwindled when most of the characters were leaked. And none of the characters leaked were the ones I really cared about. Leave me with one character that I like, being Jack. Though
they only have license to so many, do they?
Right, that's probably what the issue is. Though it was recently announced that the game is being delayed to incorporate player feedback, so maybe some mechanics may be tweaked and more balance added. I don't like writing off people's like subjects or whatever, but I really don't want to spend any time on this. I spent two episodes on it.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't know anything about the game. I mean, I have no... I will just say that I don't have any... A game is supposed to cause hype when you hear about it.
Right.
And to somebody who has seen only video and likes fighting games, this game creates no hype for me.
Right.
I don't go out of my way to crap on games. I love games. And I want them to be good.
Right.
And I just don't consider this the right direction for the game to go in.
Right. So,
and a lot of people are feeling that same way. So,
yeah, it's this is all I'm going to say.
That's all we'll say on it.
Yeah. I'm glad to say that you're saying that they're going to have player feedback. I'm also glad to see that you're agreeing with me that it shouldn't be full price. And the last part of this email. Lastly, just a quick thing. You can teach Pokemon new moves in the first generation with TMs as long as it makes sense that the Pokemon can perform the move, like having them learn like Thunder Punch and stuff like that. I think there was a misconception as to what Norm and I said. I forget which episode this came from.
They also missed a lot of ways for, you know, Pokemon to learn moves. They were talking, I think, specifically about the stone, the evolution stone.
Correct.
Part of it.
We knew about TMs. I mean, because we knew TMs have been around forever. Norm and I played these games, and Kevin's played these games relentlessly. Mm-hmm. It's just we were thinking about literally a stone item akin to the evolution things is what we were more talking about. So we are sorry that we misspoke. And that is all of Cole Parker's email.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. I do like it when Cole writes. Now we get to our second one. It's a little shorter, and this is from our friend Marshall Billings.
Marshall.
You know, Norm does a similar thing whenever we get an email from him too.
I don't know. I'll slowly come to love and know all of you people since I'm taking over Norman's job.
Just love them outside of 50 feet.
Oh, I'll love them.
Okay, so before this gets a little too out of hand, hey guys,
50 Shades of Grey up in this.
Anyway, hey guys, I have a question. Do you guys think that games can get better with time without it being just nostalgia? Most people say this game has only gotten better with time, usually because of nostalgia. So what do you think? I personally think that they can.
Nah, I hate every game. Nah. really, some games, it just depends on the game. Like Pong has gotten worse.
Right.
But a game like Super Mario World, I would only say, has gotten better when all of the other competition... I mean, there hasn't been a game like it since that made me feel that way about a platformer. You know, that kind of platforming game where you've got right. a world and you go to the levels. No 2D. I mean, so it's only gotten better. So in that aspect, yeah, I mean, any game, I guess, it just depends on... what game you like?
Yeah, the Super Mario World was actually something that came to my mind as well. And then, like, Mega Man X and X2 came to mind. Those games, I think, have aged very, very well just because they're kind of the pinnacle of...
I mean, they're good sprites. I mean, they never looked bad.
Right. There are certain games, I think... like, I don't want to say it's chalked up to nostalgia, but I went back through and played, like, Final Fantasy VI, which is my personal favorite Final Fantasy. And that game seems better to me now than when it did, you know, when we were 10 years old and first played it. But I don't think it's because of nostalgia. I think it's because I'm older and I can perceive some of the more artistic choices now.
I really like the enemy sprites, and especially in 4, 5, and 6, they really just varied them up from game to game.
Right.
Where you're not fighting things that you've ever fit. You know, you might fight like an imp at the beginning of the game, mm-hmm. but as you go on later, you're fighting stuff, you know, that you ain't seen before.
Right.
So,
now, there are, like, when it comes, those are games, to me, that age well. The games that actually get better, I don't think a game gets better necessarily by itself over time. I think comparatively, there are certain old school games that are better than what some people call the standard. Mm-hmm. Like during the PS2 era, when Grand Theft Auto 3 was held as the standard that all other games need to be held against, I thought that, you know, Super Mario World, Mega Man X were better than that game.
To tell you the truth, if there's any games that have aged, it's PS2 games. Like, there will be some PS2 games I'll go back and play, you know, where the really bad 3D, that's where it is. Where, you know, where it just looks really, that really, you know, that really bad 3D. I'm trying to think of a game. I can't really, I'd have to dig them out right now.
Yeah.
I've played so many of them. Like, maybe Devil May Cry 2 in certain places, you know, just mm-hmm. where you're just, like, looking at really bad wall textures blowing up on a big TV.
Right.
And it's like, ugh.
So
you can't make that look better. I mean,
yeah. Like I said, I don't think games necessarily just get better, but some do age very, very well. It's just kind of rare and few and far between. But he continues with his email. Also, I know it's old news, but Steven, what did you think of Harley Quinn's Revenge DLC for Arkham City? Anyways, that's all. Love the show. Keep it up. First of all, before I get to the topic of DLC and Harley Quinn's DLC, my name's spelled with a V, not a PH.
Will burn for all eternity.
Exactly. That's kind of a, like, I could have not mentioned that and no one would have caught it except me, you, and Norm, but that's a pet peeve of mine. My name's spelled with a V. But I haven't played, I openly said that I'm excited for Harley Quinn's Revenge. I haven't played it yet, though. DLC for me is not one of those, as soon as it comes out, I need to go buy it kind of things. For example, Lair of the Shadow Broker for Mass Effect 2 came out. I waited almost a year and a half to finally pick that up.
I mean, it's extra. I mean, you don't got to get it
right
then. And
DLC to me, if I have an itch to play a game and it's been a while, then I'll go get the DLC so that I have something new to do.
By the time those DLCs come out, you've already played the game for 20, 30, 40 hours.
Well, and that's why I'm saying I have to wait until the itch comes around. You know, like, currently I have the itch to go play Skyrim. Mm. So I might get Dawnguard just so I have something new.
Maybe.
But yeah, when I get the itch to play Arkham City, then I'm going to get Harley Quinn's Revenge because I'm going to want to go through that particular storyline. So that's the email for Marshall. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Marshall. We love you.
Just because, you know, just like we're greatly appreciative that everybody emails us. And if you do want to email us, our email is level7cast@gmail.com. You can also get a hold of us on Twitter and on Facebook and level7podcast.com. There's just all kinds of ways to get a hold of us.
And my house number. I mean,
you don't want to do that. We learned that lesson many years ago.
All right, I won't give you the direct route. If I give you anything, it'll be my Switzerland number.
You can give them your home address. I mean, the fact that you live in the middle of nothing, they'll never be able to find you. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with the next three topics. And we're going to close it out.
Remember, we love you.
We'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And we're back. Let's go ahead and jump right into our last three topics. More next generation rumors. The PS4 will supposedly support 4K resolution. You excited for it?
Now, do you exactly know what 4K resolution is?
I do. But it's because I'm an audiovisual technician.
Oh, snap.
So it's the count of the pixels on your screen. 1080 is actually the pixel count of it.
So you're telling me that 4K resolution is going to be four times that?
Yes.
Wow.
You sound
the
surprised.
End.
Yeah, you sound surprised. Nah. Like you didn't know that.
No, I guess that's the next logical. It's just, wow, you know, four times.
Right. Here's the problem with it, is that you have to have the hardware to support it.
I mean, we're going to have to update TVs.
Right. And even then, you're going to have to buy bigger televisions. Because at this point, 1080p on a smaller, like, so there's the iPad Retina display, which is supposed to be above 1080, if I'm remembering correctly. And it doesn't look any different than 1080 to me, because it's not big enough to really notice it. It's not like going
watching anything in, like, Blu-ray definition.
I was supposed to be watching something in some high resolution something.
I haven't looked at those Retina display ones, so I can't give my opinion on that. But from the big TV they had of this, I mean, yeah, it looks nice, but I mean, I don't want an 80-inch TV in my room.
Right. And you have to actually get that 80-inch television to your house. I had a problem getting, I have a 55 inch, and I had a problem getting that into my apartment.
Yeah.
So, and that's what they're trying to coincide this with, is the PS4 being released with this big 80-inch 4K television. That
we're not going to be able to go with TVs to a certain point. I mean, they need to start rolling it back with size and, right, you know, going forward with the better technology inside of it.
Yeah, I will say this. I'm excited for the possibilities of it and how good it'll look, but we just have to think practically about it. Bigger doesn't always mean better.
And Ubisoft's boss, I'm going to get this wrong, but Yves Guillemot.
That's a nice try.
Yes, Mr. Guy, who does this thing, that's his name, claims companies are going with free-to-play models because piracy of games is so rampant. Even saying that there is a 95% piracy rate for, I guess, Ubisoft games. Do you think this is true?
No, I don't.
I mean, how can he get away with saying that?
Well, because, I mean, a lot of people, I don't necessarily think he's getting away. I mean, you can say whatever you want. There's no criminal.
He didn't provide any kind of citation at all. I mean, not like I have numbers. Just,
right.
He's
and
just like,
well, he is getting railed by it. I've read articles saying, like, hey, look, we can throw out random numbers as well. And we're railing him, too. So I don't think he's necessarily getting away with it. But I do think his train of thought is incorrect. Because there's no way you're getting pirated 95% and still putting out anything.
5% of people, yeah, are buying stuff. And haven't they said time after time that their DRM works?
Right. I think
if it works, then how are they having 95%? They're not doing a good job either way. Either they're lying or they're doing a crappy job.
Right. And I don't think there's a reliable way to check piracy rate either. So it's a really weird statistic to cite. You can say piracy is a problem, but I mean, one pirated thing is a problem because that's one thing that you want the money on. That's just business.
But see, there's a lot of arguments that go into that, though. It's just not as simple as they would have bought the game. You lost the sale.
I know, because if they do pirate it, they can get into other things, and it's kind of the gateway to all the other stuff. I mean, I've heard those arguments, but
I'm just saying it's not as cut and dry as one side or the other. You know, there's always something in the middle. Even in politics, there's something in the middle. You just don't go one side or the other. That's just idiotic.
Right. But like I said, I don't think that now they're also talking about free to play. I think they're going to free to play because they want a new model. I don't think it's necessarily strictly for piracy. And I don't think his numbers are correct at all.
All I'll say is if you make better games, then that will have an effect and people won't pirate your games as much.
Right. People will be willing to pay for better games. So, the next Fallout game is rumored to take place in Boston, known as the Commonwealth in the Fallout universe.
Boston.
Nice try with that one, too. Boston. Bethesda is reportedly spending time researching the landscape of Boston. If this is true, does it get you excited?
I guess if there's, like, Boston zombies.
Is that
like, hey, I'm Boston.
And they just offer you,
I don't know.
I'm guessing if they offer you clam chowder.
I don't know anything. Other than that stupid accent, I don't know anything about Boston.
Right.
I mean, aren't they by the water?
I guess.
Maybe you can drown your character then. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
You can drown them in the other ones. I'm a little bit more, I know you're not as big into Fallout as I am. I am more excited about this. The Fallout universe as a whole, I'm always excited to explore. The Commonwealth is hinted as a much more war-torn and much more active location. So I think that would be cool.
So there's been mention of the Commonwealth in past Fallout games?
Oh, yeah. They mention a lot of different areas throughout the country. So, I mean, it has been alluded to, which gives more fuel to the fire that is this rumor. because they do mention the Commonwealth on numerous occasions. Now, the other thing that makes me excited about the next Fallout game is Skyrim. How are we linking these two, you ask?
Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. So, you know, Bethesda did Oblivion, Fallout, and Skyrim. Oblivion was really good. Fallout came out, and it was a better version of Oblivion, just put somewhere else. Then Skyrim comes out. It's a better version of Fallout 3, just put somewhere else. I really think that the next Fallout's going to be a better version of Skyrim, just put somewhere else. And I'm okay with that trend, because they improve the game each time that they do this. Each
and every time. I don't know how you got that train of thought, but I'll go with you. On this subject, he's usually right. So Fallout, I'd go with Steven on it.
But that's why I'm excited for it. I hope it comes out sooner rather than later, but I don't know that it's going to come out this generation. But it gives me hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
At least you can hope. You have to have a little hope.
Just a little bit. I hope that I have hope. That's kind of weird. So that's our seven topics.
We did seven of them, and we answered your mail. So leave us alone for a week.
No, don't. No, stop. Don't you start telling people that. We want people to come and embrace us.
And yeah, but I'll be in my shed for a week, so you can't come and embrace me.
I'm talking in a metaphorical sense. I don't want.
Now you can send it to the email. Though I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying
that's
I'm
what
locked
I'm
away.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want a physical embrace. I don't
see what happens is I turn into a werewolf in between each episode, so I have to lock myself in a shed.
All right, what kind of are you one of those like tweener wolves?
No, this is an ancient curse. There's nothing tweener about it.
Okay, that's.
I actually ate that girl from Twilight, so.
You'd be doing the world a favor. Was she greasy? She looks like she'd be greasy. Like, eating her looks like you'd be eating a really greasy fast food burger.
She tasted like lasagna.
That's. Wow, that's a really weird translation. Okay. So, is that what you're having for dinner tonight, Kevin? Is just more Christmas?
Yes, I'm having chick from Twilight.
That's fantastic to know. So, until next week, goodbye.
Later.